Minority Corner is brought to you by this strike for Black Lives. On July 20th, essential workers across the country will walk off the job to demand racial and economic justice at work. Black people have been underpaid and overpoliced for too long. It's time for action from corporations and the government that values Black lives and dismantles racist policies. So we ask you to join a protest on Monday, July 20th, and stand in solidarity and striking workers. Go to j20strike.org/minority. That's j20.org/minority. See you there. Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout.
And I'm Aneke Fitz-Clark, the co-creator of this damn podcast. And I'm back. She, her, right? That's it. That's she and it. Her. Yeah, there's not a third it. One? Is there a past tense? Hers is? Anyways, I'm a librarian. If you bitches have been listening to past episodes, you know who I am. I'm happy to be back.
It's the Maximum Fun Drive. This week, it is kicking off the Maximum Fun Drive. Kind of feeling like Christmas in July these days. And I think we could use a little Christmas spirit. I think we could use a little Christmas energy. Something exciting, something good, something warm, something fuzzy, something cozy, something to bring us all together, something positive. And not only do we have our neighborhood librarian, Aneke, jumping back into the mix to help us kick off the drive this week, but we're going to unearth so many of the questions that have been plaguing us of late. Is Agent Orange trying to incite a race war? Is Scary Spice racist? Is Tupac alive? We gonna get into these questions, and we might even have some answers. Okay, and then in the main corner and event, on the heels of Aneke's fabulous corner from last week, where we got introduced to Anna Marie Douglas, I decided to take us on a deep dive into her husband, the man himself. You heard a little bit about him last week, Freddie D, with 10 facts you probably didn't know about Frederick Douglass. But first, just to warn you, there will be a pop quiz. But I guess because since I warned you, it's not so much of a pop, it's just going to be a quiz. So get ready, because you think you know Frederick Douglass, but you have no idea. This is the Diary of Frederick Douglass. Okay, and it is the Maximum Fun Drive, doing it a little bit differently this year. Usually it's in the spring, right now it's summer, but a lot of life and world shit was a happening. But here we are, because we know that the Maximum Fun Drive is so incredibly important to shows like this and Maximum Fun in general. For those of you, many of you probably know that Maximum Fun, it's artist-owned and it's audience-supported. So it's a beautiful symbiotic marriage of a relationship between the two of us. And this is the time of year where we renew our vows, or for some of us, we kick it up a notch and make a little bit of a stronger commitment to each other. And so that means that when you become a member, you are directly affecting our ability to continue to do what it is that we do here at Minority Corner, other shows at Maximum Fun, and help Maximum Fun to plan for other future shows. It's in part because of those of you who are already members. I just want to give you all a big thank you so much, because it's because of the work that you've done, your support, that Minority Corner has been able to go on for 5 years. So that's to you all. And as if you, you know, we've been going back into the archives and you can even hear, hopefully the sound quality has been getting, you know, better. We're chugging along. We're getting, you know, a little bit better every year, but that comes from the support that you all are able to give us, getting better equipment. So a big thanks in advance for, again, those of you who are going to end up joining, those of you who have already become members. You're like an investor into Minority Corner, except you can't tell us what to do. So those of you who are interested in becoming a new member or you're ready to upgrade your membership, you can head on over to MaximumFun.org/join. Choose the monthly amount that works for you. What's so great is there is a level for everybody. $5 a month, $10 a month. I mean, $10 a month, that's... I don't even think you can do Netflix at that much. I have no idea how much Netflix is because I'm not paying for it. I'm paying for other things. Okay, get off my back. I'm paying for the Disney Plus and the Hulu and the Amazon Prime, you know, switching it up. But anyways, you can find a level that works for you. There's even $20, $35, or even if y'all, maybe you're feeling like you're having a good year and you really want to kick it up a notch and really support some Max Fun shows, you got $100 a month for you right there. Just head over to MaximumFun.org/join. But let's get into the show. There'll be more about that and some awesome, great things that'll be happening during the drive. I'm actually kind of excited the drive is going on for 4 weeks because so many cool things are going to happen. But let's jump into the show. Let's get ready to learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner. Okay, really quickly. Before we get into it, I do want to give some quick snaps to a few things that YouTube and Reddit have been banning alt-right accounts and hate speech.
Good.
Some thread, a super thread. The thing on Reddit, how people communicate to each other. Ooh, he did his...
I don't know. I'm not on Reddit.
Me neither. But there was one about like Donald Trump that they... a subreddit. Clever. Oh, anyways, had pretty much banned and stopped. And so I'm just giving those snaps because it's sort of like the work that we're doing, it's working, you know?
Okay, good.
It's having an effect. And yes. Just wanted to point that out.
Thanks, guys. Finally, fuck. And like Twitter also like doing a little bit of fact checking on Donald Trump. But it's also like, it's like, come on, guys, a little too late.
But at least they're doing something. And because Facebook still hasn't necessarily done what I feel like they need to do. An election time is ticking. It's, you know, TikTok. It's 2 minutes to midnight. Let's go.
Woo, scary.
Terrifying, right? Mm-hmm. And so with Twitter, with that, you know, we were talking about, I think I just want to caution everybody that like, and my cousin was saying this too, I really do believe, and I'm not usually one to like, I don't like to panic people, but I do like to create awareness, right? And creating awareness is to empower you. I do believe that Agent Orange is really trying to start a race war.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was going to bring up a specific article, but it's almost like every day there's a new thing.
Every day.
It's so specific and so intentional. There's no doubt about it. Or it's the people around him that are also, he's either a willing idiot or this is so purposeful. And so coming to that conclusion for myself has helped me to not be gaslit because I feel like it is intentional. Yeah. And so it's sort of just for me keeping the eye on the prize because these are distraction techniques of, you know, talking about monuments instead of the coronavirus, right?
That's people are dying. Literally killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. And I've read a lot of articles and it's deeply fascinating. So Trump likes to be liked. That's his thing. He's a narcissist. That's why he holds rallies. Have we ever had a president hold rallies while they were in office before? No. And they're all narcissists. Let's face it. To become the president, you have to love yourself to a crazy amount.
A bit of gumption that needs to happen because you need to lead people. So you've got to be like, I can do this. And that's...
I want to be president. Like, come on. So...
And it's also a terrifying like thing. I would imagine someone who's being president or in government, it's a public service position.
Yeah.
You're in the realm of service and you have to care about people. And
yes.
Agent Orange doesn't. And... who's also a sociopath, because you have people's lives hang in your hands. It's one job that I would absolutely not want to do. You make the wrong decision.
Thanks.
Think about the thousands of people that have died because of his inactions or direct actions. The children in cages, the 50,000 plus people who died of coronavirus that didn't have to had we started 2 weeks earlier that are continuing to die.
Hello. Tell me about it. So he's trying to, instead of trying to get all Republicans to vote for him, which would be the smarter tactic, he's doing what he wants to feel good, which is to make sure his base, who's undeniably going to vote for him, is even louder and even stronger.
Yeah.
And so his base are racist.
Right.
Fact of the matter.
Yep.
Full stop.
We're not running around it. And it's like, at this point, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm not usually so black and white about things, but people's lives are in the balance that, like, you cannot be complicit anymore. You can't just be like, well, the economy, like, you are supporting someone who deliberately is supporting systemic racism and white supremacy.
Oh, yeah. Full stop. Not even shielding it anymore, which a lot of people are saying is going to hurt his campaign, which I hope.
Yeah.
I hope people will be shocked. I hope Republicans will finally fucking cross the fucking party lines and not be so goddamn two-party system, because this is reaching a point where he is just igniting racism.
Yeah.
There are people that are attempting lynchings again because of this is happening. So we need to focus, like you said, on him trying to start a race war by high key activating his base. And it's only going to get worse until November.
Well, and two, it's just, it just distracts. Like, I can't, we can't be distracted anymore. And cause it fires up his base and it just sets us on fire. And then we're imploding and focusing on all of, like, the wrong things, you know, like there's just a laundry list of things that we are actually about as opposed, like, that are we're for, you know, and we need to focus on those things. So I just sort of, like, for me, it was an aha moment of like, oh, okay. Because I honestly give people the benefit of the doubt. I was like, well, maybe just too many things were lining up. The Juneteenth thing. And then, you know, he went to, you know, to speak to a police force in, you know,
he's
Houston,
worse.
Texas. Didn't invite the, you know, there's all these black officials he had not, you know, actually asked to be there. And so I'm like, oh, this is intentional. I understand what you're doing. So I'm not going to give you my energy. I'm going to focus on the things that I can actually focus and change. I can't deal with any of that. And I'm not giving you any more of my power.
I can't even think about him right now. What I need to think about is wearing a mask in public, washing my hands, being anti-racist, and trying to entertain myself while I socially distance.
Fair. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then voting in November.
Of course. And, you know, getting involved in any way that you also can. I highly recommend, I've said this to folks, you can adopt a state, like picking a race, picking a candidate to, like, really champion and back. All hands on deck.
Support Black-owned businesses.
Speaking of Black-owned businesses, quick question for you.
Okay.
Is Scary Spice racist?
I want to know what's going on. I need to know what's going on.
I need to know the answer, Aneke. Is Scary Spice racist?
Is this a question for me? What's going on?
I just was thinking, like, again.
James.
This just kind of popped into my head. I just have been thinking and I wanted to ask your question. So I'm now thinking, because the Spice Girls got their name because some reviewer was like, these girls are terrible. And he, like, was making fun of them and was like, oh, this one, she looks like a baby. Oh, this one, she's a ginger. This one, oh, she's like a lesbian. She's sporty. And this one, oh, she's really nice. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm doing the wrong accent. Oh, she's really nice.
There we go.
She's really posh. Oh, and that one with the big hair, she's black. Oh, she's so scary.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Well, they've always said, the Spice Girls have always said that they never went along with those names. They didn't like them.
Well, then fuck us. I will never say their names like that ever again.
She's Mel B.
She's Mel B. Like, I now realize, I'm like, it's really, and snaps to her. Snaps to her because she just was like, fuck it, then I'm going to turn this beat around and own this and empower it. That sucks. They but named the black one now. Scary. That speaks to racism is not limited to just the United States.
England is racist. Oh, very much.
Yes.
I'm going to get into it.
Oh, me too. Can, oh, we both yeah. go. We coming
we'll
after you today.
We getting into it.
We coming after you, queen.
But also, I have a question about Scary Spice since you are bringing it up. Mm. You remember the whole Gabrielle Union? What?
Oh. I said, see, you've been thinking about her too.
I have been. Well, now that you've brought it to my attention, I wasn't. I was just dum-da-dum-da-dum going on my life. And now it's okay. So, you know, America's Got Talent Gabrielle Union went through that whole controversy where she like said it's a racist energy there.
Right.
And fucked up, and they,
with
like,
Simon Cowell, like
hair.
Just smoking cigarettes on the inside and like blowing it in her face.
You know who was a long-term host of that show?
Simon Cowell.
Mel B.
Oh.
So did she just tolerate that?
Oh, probably. Because I think the racism is a little bit different that happens over in the UK. I think because...
It was here. America Got Talent.
I know, but she's maybe just so used to...
Oh, because she's British. Oh, okay.
She like, doesn't just switch. Like, she's like, now I'm going to experience racism as a black American.
I don't know.
I think that there's a different sort of empowerment that happens because the civil rights movement was very different because they ended slavery so much further ahead of us. And there wasn't necessarily things like, you know, I believe like Jim Crow in the ways that we had it, you know, to a certain degree. And so I think it was this idea that they were also were sort of post-racial, right? But the microaggressions were still happening. So I don't think that for some, the language is there to confront those issues and things.
So she probably did
just tolerate that sort of behavior. Like, oh, it's just Simon. And I mean, she tolerated being called. She just sucked it up and allowed people to call her fucking Scary Spice on TRL. Like, can I touch your hair?
Across the world.
Wow. Yes.
It's so rude.
Well, collect that coin. Anyways, also, I don't think that Tupac is alive anymore. But anyways.
I mean, duh.
Well, I finally came to that realization. It was a tough one. I was just like, oh, I just
he
don't.
Dead.
He's gone.
Been dead.
That's hard to like, as the first time I'm really putting it out there. And I just had theories because my brother was like, oh, well, he named his last name Machiavelli, and Machiavelli is an artist who
that
faked his death.
That Machiavelli shit is old as him
being dead. But sometimes he
dead.
Would be like rapping about stuff, then he'd be like, I can't believe Trump got elected. And we're like, wait, what? He just was rapping about stuff that's happening right now. He was. They need to count all the ballots in Florida.
This podcast just got blackety black with you talking about Tupac still being dead.
Coronavirus in a pandemic. I thought I told you. Better hold on. California exactly. dreaming. California dreaming. We there.
Oh, man. Open your third eye and see.
Open it up. All right. Shall we get into the corners?
Let's do it. I'm so excited.
So you teed him up for me last week by talking about his wife after the break. Let's jump to it. The man, the myth, Freddie D. Okay, well, there is a lot going on right now. I think a lot of transitions are happening in people's lives. And if you know anything, if you're looking for a job or you're looking for that next step, you know it's a bit of a mess out there right now. And so, honestly, whether you're looking for something new or you're looking to strengthen your skill sets and just make yourself a better candidate to land that next job for promotion or level up or upgrade yourself, like how Beyonce is always telling us to do, well, business skills are going to be that next thing that's going to help you take that next step. Maybe this is what Ivanka Trump meant when she meant try something new, but she's stupid. And this sounds amazing. So, but she's an idiot. And this school is not. It's a legit place. It's the University of Toronto, Rotman School of Management. We've been talking about it for a while, and you know that it's one of the best schools in Canada and the world. Like, every time I say that, like, that to me is enough of a pitch. Like, sign me up. I want to be connected to Canada. Let's go. It's been ranked number 17 for open enrollment by the Executive Education by the Financial Times, which sounds like a super legit place. Like, they'd be knowing what they are talking about. And number 17 ain't nothing to balk at. Plenty of schools did not even make it on the list. And time is of the essence. We are the microwave generation. People want to learn skills fast and now. And the good thing is, in just 3 weeks, you're going to learn how to work collaboratively across divisions, develop your business skills, and you're going to network with a global group of early to mid-career professionals just like you. So you're with your people. Metal sharpens metal. And you're going to be doing something great with your time. There's nothing like learning a new set of skills or upgrading the current ones you have to really make you feel good. Like you're going into that next direction. I know a lot of people are trying to figure out what their next step is. And Rotman School of Business might just be that next thing that you have been looking for. So if you live in the US, I'm sorry, but don't forget that the price is in Canadian dollars. So that's not your currency. So just make sure that the exchange rate is going to work in your favor. Remember that the US dollar price is lower. So do the math. It's like it's your first class. You get to figure out what that exchange rate is for you. So if you want to learn more and apply, all you need to do is visit uof.me/maxfun. Classes start August 12, 2020. That's just around the corner. So you're going to want to start your application today to save yourself a seat. Once again, that's uof.me/maxfun. Rotman. Here's where it changes.
Frederick Douglass.
I want to tell you about a man that you maybe don't know. His name is Freddie D. So I'm
Frederick Douglass.
Freddie D.
Okay, yeah, tell me about him.
You can't be named Frederick Douglass like without being like, I want Freddie D, the musical, Lin-Manuel Miranda, or James.
Yeah, do it.
James Manuel Miranda Martin. Get on it. All right. So what year was Frederick Douglass born?
I don't know.
1818. I was going to give you multiple choice, but there's no time.
Okay.
So he was born in 1818 in Talbot County, Maryland. Okay. How old do you think he was when he escaped slavery, when Freddie D escaped slavery?
Oh, he had to be a kid. So like 5?
20.
Oh, shit. He was in slavery for a long ass time. Thanks, Anna Murray Douglas.
Exactly. And so you already teed us up of how he got out of there with his first wife who helped get him out of there. So thank you for setting us up.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
How many autobiographies did he write?
2.
It was either one source said 3 and one said 5. So
totally wrong for me.
You were so close. Yes. His book, 1845 Autobiography, Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave. It was so prominent because it described his time as a slave. And it was one of the first autobiographies penned that kind of went into more details about it. He wrote a lot of speeches.
Mm.
And in fact, that book actually went out of print for a few decades because after a while people were like, I'm tired of hearing these stories.
No, like, stop it.
We've dealt with this. We get it. And then it resurfaced in 1960, which will not surprise you because what was going on in the 1960s?
Civil rights movement started.
So he essentially taught himself to read and write. And like some white lady kind of like helped teach him, but I'm not talking about them. This is not about them. He was so dope. He bartered bread for knowledge. So he would always carry a book with him while out and about to trade small pieces of bread to the white kids in his neighborhood, asking them to help him learn to read the book in exchange. So he just was always like, you
know, willing and dealing to get that education.
Oh, yes, exactly. When you read his book, you're just like, oh my God, this writing is so amazing. Like, he wrote in his book, from my earliest recollection, I date the entertainment of a deep conviction that slavery would not always be able to hold me within its foul embrace. Oh, and in the darkest hours of my career in slavery, this living word of faith and spirit of hope departed not from me, but remained like ministering angels to cheer me through the gloom. Self-taught writer. Like what, to put those words together? Like, I mean, I think I'm a pretty good writer, but
there's
like,
reason we all know who Frederick Douglass is. Clearly, he's just a brilliant, brilliant mind.
Yep, 100%. Sad thing is that I'm not going to say his name, but when white dude who was his master found out that he was doing this, sent him to a really racist farm slavery owner who was just really rough and that's when he was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And
James,
that's when
I hate this. I hate that this is like Whenever I hear this stuff, it's always like people are like, oh yeah, and then there's this really awful slave person. It's like, it's bad. It's, we need to really understand how sadistic that is.
Yeah.
To not only be the bad slave owner, but right. to be the slave owner in general, but also to send them there.
Right. To an even worse, like he sent them to an even worse place because he was not only did he learn how to read and write, but he was teaching other black people.
It's like,
yeah, he had classes sometimes as many 40 people, and he was teaching them how to read.
Amazing.
So they could have power. Yeah. So yes, you talked about before his escape, which is at the hands of Anna Marie, so we won't go into the details there, but it happened. It looks like they got married. You mentioned they got married September 15th, 1838. Mm-hmm. So that was the year that he was like, I'm out. I'm out of here. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Oh, little controversy. So you'd mentioned last week about his white wife.
Yeah.
Helen Pitts. So yeah, her family was from was an abolitionist family and were about good. Abolitionism, but were not happy. Like they disowned her after she got married to Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, that's a lot of what's going on right now. Like you're posting and being all Black Lives Matter, but can a black person enter your family?
Yep.
Let's examine
that's
that.
Literally Helen Pitts's Mayflower family. So there's that. I will say that this is how dope Frederick Douglass is. In 1877, that man, that racist man, that slavery guy, that slave owner, they reportedly reconciled because Douglass went to town on him in his book. So Douglass had a big heart and was able to like, all right.
Which is
I know,
bigger than my ass.
And this is why he's in the, you know, grandest of the heavens that we can only hope. Okay, so that was just the precursor. I just want to give you 10 things that you probably actually did not even know about Frederick Douglass. Now that we've got the primers on, now let's slap on some paint.
What?
I don't know. Clearly, I have not painted. Is that how I do it?
No, that's how you do it. That's why I'm so shocked.
I be knowing things.
Yes.
It was like, all right, and let's get the chainsaw.
Okay.
Now we're off. Okay, number one. One of the reasons we celebrate Black History Month in February is because of Frederick motherfucking Douglass.
Mm.
So the historian educator Carter G. Woodson founded the precursor for Black History Month.
That's like
so
the old-timiest name ever, too.
Carter G. Woodson. So it used to be Negro History Week he'd created Negro History Week to coincide with the time of the year that both Douglass and Abraham Lincoln celebrated their birthdays.
Ah.
And here's the thing, although Douglass was born into slavery and his actual birthday is unknown, he chose to commemorate his birthday on February 14th. So like,
okay.
Yeah.
He's Valentine's Day baby.
Yeah. That's why like in the beginning he's born in or around 1818. Like,
oh, because we don't quite know.
Oh, we don't know. And that's again.
He's like, this date is cute.
I like
this my birthday.
Day. Baby of love.
Valentine's Day.
All right. Number two. Douglass was the most photographed American of the 19th century.
I mean, he was kind of good looking.
Exactly. In fact, I'm trying to rock a Frederick Douglass fro. Like,
are you really?
Well, it's padded down now. But when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, hey, Freddie D, is that me? He's my inspiration. Him and Harriet Tubman are like my heroes. So he was more photographed.
Yeah.
They are because it's
I thought like hair heroes. I was like,
and Madam C.J. Walker. No, okay. No, my heroes just because it's
just
like
in general. Yes,
just
of course.
In general. Because
I'm not laughing at
every
that.
Time.
No.
I'm just like, oh man, like it's really hard being black and queer. And I'm like, wait a minute, my guiding stars. Like I
they
can do it. They
fucking
did it.
Ripped it up. They did it well.
So he sat for more portraits than Abraham Lincoln or even Walt Whitman. And they were like, you know, big time heroes of the time. So there are over 160 separate portraits of Frederick Douglass. He was like, take my picture. Snap, 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 snap. He like invented the paparazzi.
Like, it wasn't like easy at that time either.
No,
they're like, sit here while we like fire this shit up and like,
okay, hold on,
put
let's
the
stand
curtain turn over my head and light this light bulb. And
a lot of work. You were lucky if you got a portrait. He had 160. And he was intentional about it. He wasn't just like, you know, but he was intentional because he believed that photography was an important tool for achieving civil rights because it offered a way to portray Black folks fairly and accurately. And do you know why he didn't smile at any of his photos?
No, why?
He was like, I don't want you looking at me as like I'm the happy slave caricature that was common at the time.
Oh, I love it.
So particularly like in places such as minstrel shows where white actors, you know, performed racist skits in blackface. And so for him, it was a democratic art. Like he was using this art form in a form of politics and democracy. So that way Black folks could be represented as human beings and not things. So you, because otherwise, like so much of slavery was dehumanizing. They're not human, right? But if you start seeing them as human, then it makes it harder to continue enslaving them.
I love it. Yes. Duh.
So number three, Frederick Douglass chose his name from a poem.
Wait, his name wasn't Frederick Douglass?
Here's what happened.
Okay.
So he was born with the name Frederick Augustus Washington Bailey. And then after he
I mean, did you know that Augustus is a family name in my family?
Oh, maybe Freddie D is like a long lost relative.
And it's a middle name too. There's a lot of people in my family that have Augustus as a middle name.
Damn, okay.
I don't know.
Descendant of Freddie D.
Maybe.
So after he successfully escaped slavery with the help of his wife,
Anna Marie, yes.
His bae. And
44 years, let's not forget that.
Yeah, for a long time. So him and his wife adopted the name Douglas from a narrative poem by Sir Walter Scott.
And they both picked it.
The Lady of the Lake, yeah.
Oh, see, I like that. I didn't know that. And that's good. Getting rid of that slave name.
That's exactly it. And I was going to read the poem's long. I was like, maybe I'll read it before this pot. It's a long poem. But take a look.
Look it up. Read it yourself.
So just a little bit of backstory about him. So his mother was of Native American ancestry and his father was of African and European descent.
Wait,
and
who is this? The poet?
No. Frederick Douglass.
Oh, then he was illegally slaved.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, yeah, that's okay. We would have been in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was like, why am I here? I mean, why are any of them here? But
yeah, sidetrack really quick, James. I mean, I know that because my family, one of my direct descendants was the first woman to sue and win her freedom in Virginia. And that's because of the rule. If your mother is not Black, then you aren't a slave. If your mother is Black, then you are a slave. Obviously, that's safeguarding for rape.
Right.
So my great grandmother, her mother was a Native American, and she told that to her daughter while they were both in slavery. And that daughter sued twice. She sued once, got her freedom, got recaptured. Sued again, got her freedom for her children, and her grandchildren.
You come from some powerful ass blood. It's interesting you start hearing those stories and you see what a stone's throw away slavery is. Like when my uncle talks about his great-great-grandmother who was enslaved and got emancipated. Like
it's close.
He met her. He knew her.
Like
that's my uncle who's still alive today.
See? We're on the shores of slavery.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and people need to realize that it's not like it's a faraway thing. We're literally still on the beach. Slavery is right there brushing up against us.
Yep. So just a little side part. By 1843, Douglass had become part of the American Anti-Slavery Society's 100 Conventions Project. That was a 6-month tour through the United States. And Douglass was physically assaulted several times during the tour by those who opposed the abolitionist movement. In fact, that leads into fact number four. In one particular brutal attack in Pendleton, Indiana, Douglass's hand was broken.
Oh, my God.
The injuries never fully healed, and he never regained full use of his hand. So
that's wild.
Yeah. And then so then in 1858, radical abolitionist John Brown, who stayed with Frederick Douglass in Rochester, New York. So again, like this is nice that we know. I'm glad that we learned about his wife in your corner, because now we know like who is handling all the other business stuff at home base as he's off doing all this stuff. So
They had five kids.
I think they had settled down in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So John Brown, who he's very interesting, I should get into a different time. Mm-hmm. He had planned a raid on the U.S. military arsenal at Harper's Ferry in 1858 and was part of an attempt to establish a stronghold of free slaves in the mountains of Maryland and Virginia. It was like, create our own little Wakanda we find.
Yes.
But Brown was caught and hanged for masterminding the attack, offering the following prophetic words as his final statement. I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away, but with blood.
Ooh.
Last words.
I mean, that's pretty baller to say that as your last words.
And kind of, I mean, we're still dealing with the, you know, cancer of this system. Like we are the pandemic of racism still being affected by this. So.
It's so true. There's like songs about John Brown because of these crazy things that he did, which is like wild. He was a white guy too, wasn't he?
John Brown, John Brown.
I think.
John Brown. I think I'm just singing Funky Town. Okay.
With John Brown, yes.
What up, Corner Kids? It's the Maximum Fun Drive. Maximum Fun Drive. Maximum Fun Drive. You can't see me, but I'm playing a little air piano. And all this jazz and all that jazz. Okay, so it's the Maximum Fun Drive, and I wanted to just sort of let one of you all explain why the drive, why it's so important, or why they have become a member. So I know it's not Tuesday, but we're going to read a bit of a tweet here. So I want to give a shout out to this. It's a four-part tweet. I love it. I love it when y'all write big. So this comes from @MissBori. They wrote, hey friends, it's #MaxFunDrive time. I really only joined up last year because I was a latecomer to a number of podcasts, but this network and the shows on it are so good. I'm so stoked to be able to boost my membership this year and continue to support amazing content. I always think about the way that @JustinMcElroy explains it. Joining @MaxFunHQ and supporting the shows that bring you joy is like casting a vote for what you want to see more of in the world. I don't know about you, but I need the continued light that the shows I love bring. With every episode, my current lifelines are @WonderfulPod, @MyBrother and Brother Me, @TheZoneCast, that's the Adventure Zone. But I've also sampled amazing stuff from @MinorityCorner, woo woo, and @FanTypePodcast, love y'all. And I know there's so much more content that I haven't even dipped into yet. How often do you get to cast a vote that you know will only support good people making good stuff? If you enjoy any of the awesome content that comes out of @MaxFunHQ, consider becoming a member even just for $5 a month, if you're able. And hey, @MaxFunHQ, thanks. #MaxFunDrive. That tweet blew my mind. I feel like it even put into perspective. I love the idea of, we talk about all the time voting with your dollars. And I really do believe that the work that does happen here at Max Fun, there's like, 30 podcasts. There's so much, and there's so much variety. There's so many different shows, and there's such a big, broad community. And I think, yeah, especially as we're heading into this election year, we're in the middle of a pandemic, there's so much that's happening. I think the work and voices that are happening here are so important, and you all get to support it and say, hey, I want more of that. And allows us to do what it is that we do. So, well said, @MissBori. Well said, Justin McElroy. I said this at the top of the show, but we know that there are so many, many, many worthy causes, especially right now, given everything that's going on with the pandemic, the civil unrest. And we also know that some people are not in a financial position to be Max Fund members. We totally understand that. And at that same time, if you can't, you can still participate in the Maximum Fun Drive by helping to spread out the word, write up a tweet, do something on social media. Like, you are still involved in the community and getting the word out about this show and the other shows at Maximum Fun and the Maximum Fun Drive as well. But if you are in a position to invest in this show, we really appreciate you supporting our ability to make it. It literally, to the bottom of my heart, again, we would not be here 5 years later. this would have been like a fun thing that Neke and I started to do at the pool, did it for a bit, but it's through you all that we're able to still keep going. So you can visit MaximumFun.org/join. And you'll see all the ways that you can give. Most people choose at the $5 or $10 per month. Totally makes sense. $5, you can't even get a cup of coffee for $5. So, and some people support at $20 a month or even more, but you're going to want to find the level that works for you. And what's also so great is that we're not just like, hey, thanks for the money, bye. Like, you get stuff. You're going to get some awesome shit. So this year, we've put together the Max Fun Game Pack. I have one. It's super cute. There's a deck of cards, which is perfect for quarantine, especially if you're by yourself. Like, I don't know about you, but I love me a game of solitaire. And if you're with other people, you can play all kinds of like card games, like poker or something. And like, what's so cool is that this deck of cards, it's not boring. Most deck of cards are super boring, but this includes a set that is tailored. You're going to see little emblems from different shows on here. And when you're, you know, at your poker game or doing your magic tricks, people are going to be like, oh my God, look at that amazing deck of cards. Killing it. Your tricks doesn't have to be that good. The cards are your trick. It also includes Max Fun branded dice in a velvet bag with the Rocket logo. So I know that many of you are listening to a lot of different shows, and we are so grateful, whether it's One Bad Mother or Fanti. Big ups to them. This is Fanti's first year at the Maximum Fun Drive. What a great addition. So that's the thing, is that when you're supporting Maximum Fun, it's allowing them to bring on other great shows like Fanti. What a great addition this year. Old school shows, Can I Pet Your Dog? We Got This. There's so much underneath the giant umbrella of shows here at Maximum Fun. These hosts at all of these different shows, they are working so hard in these very, you know, wild times, but everyone's working so hard to bring something meaningful to share with you all during this time and beyond. We've been at this game. We're going to still be at this game. We're like the post office, but like even better, or Trump's Agent Orange not trying to like take us down, but he probably is. I don't know. But we are so grateful to those of you who are able to support us. And even if you can't support us financially, we know that you're a Care Bear staring into the air and showing us that love. But for all of those people who do enjoy listening to this show and other shows, we can only continue to do so because of your membership and support. So big thanks. So there you go. If you haven't done so already, make sure to head on over to MaximumFun.org/join. Okay, next one, number five. Douglas became a free man thanks to help from his wife and European allies. So we know what happened with his wife. I mean, this website just really credited his European friends, but we know from you, I just added in his wife. But apparently, like, so he had written his book, The Narrative, The Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave. It was so popular that it was published in 1845. He feared the publicity could lead to his capture. And he was like, y'all need, because they're like, oh, this book is great. He's like, shh, 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 shh. He's like, and this is how I escaped. And they're like, oh, this is great. He's like, all right, you got all calm down. They're like, everybody needs to hear this. So he was like terrified.
Yeah.
So he then chose to live in Ireland and Britain for 2 years. He's like, I got to get out and lay low.
Did he take his wife?
I don't know. It doesn't say. As you said,
see,
that.
This is how it's treated. This is how we're, history, this is how spouses
women
are treated.
Erased from history, especially Goodbye. Black women. Wow. You're right.
But then here we go, knowing about his white wife's family and how they felt about
him. Oh, we know
about
everything
him.
About her. I know. Oh, and they were so upset with her, and they disowned Penny or whatever her name was. Oh, God, Penny White Wife. So while abroad, he went on a speaking tour, and his British supporters were so moved that they collected funds to help purchase his freedom in 1846, to like lock it down. Because a wife helped him escape because he had just escaped.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, let's make this legit. And they got some money for him, so he didn't have to live in fear anymore.
Good.
And so he was also in Ireland and Great Britain during the Great Potato Famine. So he was there making a movie, putting Frederick Douglass there.
That would be like if 30 years from now, somebody was like, and then they were in the United States in 2020, and be like, ooh, yikes.
Ooh, sorry about that. Like, no, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. He gave an amazing speech in London. It was called the London Reception Speech, which you can definitely take a look at. But also, I imagine it was very powerful to have him there in the UK, again, speaking to this thing that probably wasn't being spoken to as much, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, number six. Okay. Douglas was the only African-American to attend the first women's right convention.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he had a lot of white lady friends.
He did, yeah.
They all thought he was sexy, too. I read an excerpt from a book, and they were like, he's sexy.
They weren't wrong, but he's, you know, married man. So it was held in Seneca Falls in 1848. Shortly after the convention, he started his influential weekly abolitionist newspaper, The North Star.
Can I pause you for a second?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right after I graduated from college, I participated in an artistic event about Seneca Falls where we portrayed ghost women of the convention.
Oh my God.
And we powdered our faces and wore like little like hats.
Those little hats?
Yeah. And we had like shawls.
Stop
and
they like it.
And they took like our picture, like video of us moving, and they projected it. I think they actually projected it on the walls of Seneca Falls.
Wow. So,
during that the, school the really early went for,
this wasn't at Santa Cruz.
No, this was after, so like mid, it had to be like 2007 maybe.
Wow.
Like 6-7. Yeah, I was,
were you guys
a
going,
ghost projecting. We were like trying to be noble or whatever.
Oh, okay, okay. It was like a respectful, like we're paying homage to Seneca Falls.
I'm going to send you those pictures and you're going to be like, what the hell is this?
I hope it looks like all brown and old-timey.
No, it's me getting made up to look like a ghost. I don't have the actual
events.
Maybe
it'd be like, you know, like, ooh, they're like an old-timey photo. It's just like full color shot.
No, it's just me sitting there getting some powder on my face with a shawl and one of those weird little caps on.
Oh, my God. I don't know how this is the first time I'm hearing the story. This is amazing. So, okay. So the North Star, he is writing that, and he wrote in it, in respect to political rights, we hold women to be justly entitled to all we claim from man. So he been about it. He was like, I love women. Women are great. Why are they not also equal? So, you know, he was doing that.
I know that's a frustrating thing because he fought for so many women, for women's rights. But a lot of these white feminists at the time were like, black people, whatever. But we think Frederick Douglass is sexy. Like,
they just wanted to fuck him.
Probably.
And it probably made themselves feel better about their racism.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he was an advocate for women's rights, specifically the right for women to vote. He spoke forcefully. Yeah, he said in this denial of the right to participate in government, not merely the degradation of woman and the perpetuation of a great injustice happens, but the maiming and repudiation of one half of the moral and intellectual power of the government of the world.
Oh, wow. That's good. Ahead of his time.
Ahead of his time. And so the North Star is when he called out his former slave owner and he was taking him to task about the evils of slavery. He said, I am your fellow man, but not your slave.
Ooh,
claiming his power.
That is so good.
Yes. So number eight, Douglas was the first African-American to receive a vote for president at a major political party convention. And that vote came from the Kentucky delegation during the Republican National Convention, back when Republicans were, you know, great.
Make
Republicans great again. Let's do that. So that happened in 1888. And then Douglas was also the first African-American to receive a vice presidential nomination when Victoria Woodhull, she was the first woman to run for president.
Can you imagine? That must have scared those racist bigots out of their panties, where there was like a woman and a black man.
Yes. Yes. I think she was running for like some off-brand party, so she
stop it.
It wasn't like any of like, it wasn't a major party, which is why, like, you know, I think Shirley Chisholm was the first still woman to run for a major party
convention. Yeah, she was, I think it she was some made it to the
It
wasn't the Republicans; it was the Republicans.
It's it was probably like the Victoria. It was the Victoria Woodhulls. She made up her own party, so she chose him. Oh no, here it is. She chose him as her running mate for the Equal Rights Party convention in 1872.
I mean, that's not a bad name.
He didn't acknowledge the nomination.
Rude.
It wasn't a major party. He's like, okay, and also like he's not trying to like get lynched. Like that's too much.
Yeah. He would be the one in danger.
Yes, she'd be like, fine. So, number nine, he and Lincoln had beef. Yes.
Explain, tell me.
So, he supported Abe in the early years of the Civil War, but after the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, which effectively ended the practice of slavery, except apparently in Texas, Juneteenth.
Hello.
So, Douglas was disappointed that Lincoln didn't use the proclamation to grant ex-slaves the right to vote, particularly after they had bravely fought alongside soldiers in the Union 100% Army.
100% agree.
He's like, Abe, what the fuck, right?
Yeah.
So, and he even had helped recruit black soldiers for the Civil War.
Wow.
Actively petitioned President Lincoln to allow black troops in the Union Army, and two of his sons joined the 54th Massachusetts Regiment, and they were famous, which were famous for their contributions in the brutal battle of Fort Wagner.
I'm with Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, honestly, not doing enough.
We need to really dig into the fact that Abraham Lincoln, yes, helped emancipate the slaves, but also, or I should say enslaved people, but also he was not pro-black.
Right. Yeah. He was like, I think people were like, oh, this is actually a disgusting thing that we do, but we don't like those people. They were still racist. Like, you can be anti-slavery and still be a racist.
100%.
And that's a lot of people today.
I would say mostly everybody today is kind of but we don't like those people.
Right. And so Abraham Lincoln wasn't necessarily like anti-racist, right? And, you know, So, but apparently they did. Oh, also fun fact. I forget the name of the book. I'll have to look it up. I'll put it in the fact check. But both Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass had read. There's a book that Frederick Douglass credits with his way of thinking in the world. Mm-hmm. And it was pivotal. And apparently Abe Lincoln also read that same book. So I think that's where Abe Lincoln gets some of his like, oh, slavery is not good from. I forgot the name of the book.
I need to read or see it.
What it is. Mm-hmm. Reference it to some people. Send it to Agent Orange. So, but they did reconcile. So following, they did reconcile. So, okay. But I think it was before, they reconciled. And then following Abe's assassination in 1865 and the passage of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, also just note how many more amendments had to be passed to try to, like, slavery was such a mess and so embedded into our fucking Constitution, three other amendments had to be passed, right? So it's like, we still need to be passing more amendments to still be cleaning up the systemic racism in our country.
Yes.
And then Douglass was asked to speak at the dedication of the Emancipation Memorial in Washington, D.C.'s Lincoln Park. And Mary Todd Lincoln apparently gave him the late president's favorite walking stick because the speech was so great. Oh,
that's nice.
Yep.
I keep hearing nicer things about Mary Todd Lincoln. Like, she got a bad rap, but actually I think that she was pretty progressive and awesome, and that's why she got the bad rap.
Right. And I mean, it doesn't help. She was played by Sally Field in that movie, so...
Sally Fields?
No, she was in Mrs. Doubtfire. She wouldn't get back together. And as a parent of separated children, and that was the first movie I ever saw of Sally Field. I wrote her off from that moment.
Wow, I love Sally Field.
I know.
I think that she's such a compelling actress. I love her.
I just can't.
Sometimes parents need to not be together.
That's true. And I think we've actually had this conversation on this podcast before. Okay, rounding it out. So he served under five presidents. He had many a position. He was U.S. Marshal for D.C., Recorder of Deeds for D.C.
What is that?
I don't know.
Sounds like what note do you taker. Do?
Oh, the Recorder of Deeds.
I know.
He was also the Minister Resident and Consul General to Haiti and also the Ambassador to the Dominican Republic, thereby becoming the first black man to hold high office.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he remained an active, he also supported the candidacy of former Union General Ulysses S. Grant, who, you know, he did the best he could and was an alcoholic and took over in a time he probably didn't want to.
Not great with Native Americans.
But he did do really good with signing the Ku Klux Klan Act.
Good.
So he did do good work on that.
And even though they're still not a recognized terrorist group.
Right. But Grant did what he could back in 1871 with he passed a Civil Rights Act and the Ku Klux Klan Act as well that was aimed to suppress the growing KKK movement.
Good, which is so creepy.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And so Douglas, he remained an active speaker, writer, and activist until his death in 1895. So kind of just pairing it with what you were talking about, like, just think about all the people who are living and doing these things, all them wives from your corner, Booker T. And he died of a heart attack on his way home from a meeting of the National Council of Women.
So he straight up was still working for equality, and that's when he died.
Mm-hmm, yep.
This is a man... Like, why? I mean, things are named after him. He's very notable. We all love Frederick Douglass, but I do feel like he's not even up there. Like, I feel like he's better than, like,
I don't know, Andrew Jackson?
Yeah. Well, that guy was a little, like, he was a fucking fucked.
Right.
He was,
yes. But you also talk about, like, he really did help to shape the core. Like, slavery is embedded into the fabric of America, and he was helping to shape and bring light to dismantling these systems, you know? And,
yes.
You know, when he went over to England, he was so shocked by how well he was actually being treated. It was like, and that kind of instilled, you know, fire in him to make this happen in the United States. And I go back to, damn, I wish we lost the American Revolutionary War because I think slavery would have ended sooner. And I, you know,
agreed.
That's just my thoughts and opinions. We, you know, we could have been a little bit
further
ahead.
I mean, we would have had our own problems too because, I mean, like we covered before.
Same thing
with
what they did in the UK, but I would have, I'd rather be dealing with just racism and not slavery and racism. You know, I'd rather be a free black man just dealing with racism as opposed to an enslaved black man also dealing with racism.
Can you even imagine the those two options suck?
They're terrible. Why are those? I mean, as I said it, I'm like, that's terrible that those are my options, but that's what
Jesus.
We have. Yes. Oh my God. That's who they turn to get them through it.
I want to point something out to you real quickly because I think a lot of, and I know that Minority Corner has a large white listenership. Mm-hmm. Those thoughts that you just elaborated on, what James just said, the thought of I would rather be a free black man and deal with racism instead of an enslaved black man dealing with racism, that's something black people think about.
Oh, yeah.
That's a common thing that we all think about all the time. Not all the time, but it pops up.
Yes. Oh my God.
So just think for a moment, if you are white or if you're a non-black POC, think for a moment that you don't have to think about those thoughts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, go about your day now.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
And I just want to give thanks, like, thanks to the ancestors. Like, again, Harriet Tubman and Frederick Douglass are some of my heroes because even for myself, like, I think for all of our black listeners who are out there, find those heroes for you that can be your guiding star and your guiding light because it is tough navigating this world, this world that is filled with anti-blackness, and it can feel hard. And I really recommend the movie Harriet if you haven't seen it. Because it just will give you that inspiration of like, and not to discredit the feelings that we go through, but to inspire of like, okay, they did it. I can do it too. You know,
the fact that any of us are here is a miracle. I read that somewhere, but it's the truth. The fact that any African-American is here moving through their day is a fucking miracle because that meant that so many of our ancestors had to go through, live and die by strife.
Yes.
Like, we're miracles.
Even just the mere fact, think about, like, his education. He had to hustle to get that. That's how brilliant. Like, we're not kidding when we say, like, black girl magic, you know, because we're fucking magical ass human beings. Didn't have boots, made our own boots to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Those boots got taken and burnt, and we found new boots. And all we're asking, I still go back to Kimberly Jones's quote,
amazing.
Be lucky that all we're asking for is equality and not revenge.
Oof.
Which is like, that's all we're all asking for. And
just equality.
Frederick Douglass was able to forgive his slave owner. That's what I'm talking about, how amazing black people are.
Right.
That's who we are. That's where we come from. So snaps to Frederick Douglass and his wife.
Yes.
His first wife.
I mean, we we can give the second one.
Helen was an abolitionist, so that
she did her thing.
And you know, I also want to give snaps to I'm going to give Helen snaps because she like again, it's not enough. She was anti-racist, like she, and so that's when it's like you know, all white people. Find your inspiration in abolitionists. Go research abolitionists of what they did because
she was in danger to do that. In danger,
100%. And she knew she had a moral responsibility. And so it's the same thing that we are asking for. It's not enough. There was plenty of white people who were not abolitionists, didn't like slavery, but they weren't doing anything about
it.
Just
living their life, being whatever. Living their life,
like, oh, that sucks. Like, I hope someone does something about it. So, and if it wasn't for the work of the abolitionists, we would still be in chains. So step up. Be the abolitionists of today.
So snaps to her. The only reason that I feel like we were groaning is this. We know about her. We heard about her. We talk about her. Yes. So it's almost in response of... We're propping people up that should be propped up, but we should also be propping up the people that we don't hear about too.
Hands down, yes. Yeah. So high five. Thank you for setting me up for this Frederick Douglass.
That was so good. That took me on a journey. I feel like even deeper knowledge about, because Frederick Douglass is a name, you know?
Right.
And it's good to actually know
who it is. Not just a name that like, I think Agent Orange thinks he's still alive. Like he's like, oh yeah, I know Frederick Douglass. So
I know.
Snaps to Freddie D. You thought you knew, but you had no idea.
Yeah.
There were your 10 facts of Freddie D.
Thanks, James.
Gonna make it a musical written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. James Arthur M. writing it for you. Freddie D. He be spreading the news to you. Gotta go. It's time for the fact check. Scooby-doo-appoo-doo-doo. Yeah. Jazz. Always good when a song tells you what kind of style it is. Okay, let's jump into this week's fact check. Okay, I will put a link to that Frederick Douglass poem, the one that named him. The poem, Lady of the Lake, there'll be a link for that. Or, I mean, I guess you could Google it, but, you know, I love to help y'all. So there's a question. I wasn't sure how many books that Frederick Douglass had written. It was like 3 or 5. It might have been actually like there was like 3 autobiographies and then he wrote 5 books total. But according to Wikipedia, there were 5. 1845, he wrote A Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave. That's the one I think that just like blew everyone's mind, right? And then 1853, he wrote The Heroic Slave. That was in Autographs for Freedom. It was his essay is in page 174 to 239, in case you don't want to read anybody else's. I get it. You're there. Only came for the Freddie D. 1855, he wrote My Bondage and My Freedom. And then in 1881, it got revised in 1892, but that was The Life and Times of Frederick Douglass. And then in 1847 to 1851, he wrote The North Star, which was the abolitionist newspaper founded and edited by Douglass. And then he merged the paper with another, creating the Frederick Douglass's paper. Gosh, such a good movie, just waiting right there. Or like reviving that as a paper, right? Doesn't that sound amazing? Yeah, I should change the name of this podcast, the Frederick Douglass Podcast. Name myself Frederick Douglass. But if my math is correct, that does actually look like 3 autobiographies, but 5 works in total. Split the difference. I had jumbled some of my words. I had mentioned I was talking about Sally Field, and we all know how I feel about Sally Field. No fault to her own, but you know, when you're a kid, you can't get something out of your head. But I think I said as a parent of separated children. I'm sure you heard that. What I meant was as a child of separated parents, but I guess either works in some way. Okay, I had mentioned that there was the same book that Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln had read, but I couldn't recall what it was. Well, I pulled it up just for you. So during his youth, Douglass had obtained a copy of The Columbian Orator, which was a collection of essays, dialogues, and speeches on a range of subjects, including slavery. This was published in 1797. The orator was required reading for most school children in the 1800s, and it featured 84 selections from authors like Cicero and Milton. Who day? Another thing I got to fact check. Well, those two. And then Abraham Lincoln was also influenced by that collection when he was first starting into politics as well. So whatever this is, Yeah, this is in the hands of Agent Orange Stat, so he could learn something. But Trump can't read, so Audible. Maybe there's a pop-up book. I don't know. And then I'd also mention the Ku Klux Klan Act, which we actually do talk about in episode 216, Bad Baps, Bad Baps with Emerald. That's episode 216. I go into detail about the Ku Klux Klan Act, but Cliff Notes, it was the also known as the Third Force Act. And Congress had authorized President Ulysses S. Grant to declare martial law to impose heavy penalties against terrorist organizations and use military force to suppress the KKK. Because, surprise, after the Civil War, they were hanging around, and they're still here today. Okay, I was talking about Frederick Douglass's heritage, and I had mentioned that he was possibly Native American. I wasn't sure which side that it came from. It didn't. So, according to research, it says that Douglass was of mixed race, which likely included Native American and African on his mother's side, as well as European. His father was almost certainly white, according to historian David W. Blight in his 2018 biography of Douglass. Okay, I had mentioned, I wasn't really sure if the UK had things like segregation. I wasn't totally sure. And I'm still not 110% sure. I think this is something I'd like to dive even deeper in. But what I did find just quickly, and if you live in the UK and you're black, let me know. But this says that racism was mitigated by the attitudes and norms of the British class system. So from what I found is that because the UK more so has a class system, so that tended to matter far more than race. Your social distinction was everything. So for example, a West African tribal chief was far superior than an East End coaster monger. I don't know what that is, but coaster monger? Like they just monger coasters? But laws were passed in the 1960s that specifically prohibited racial segregation. Maybe because they saw it was going down in the US and they're like, oh, we are definitely not doing that. Sorry, I was just thinking about how we should have lost the Revolutionary War. Okay, and the last fact check, actually more of a retraction, I guess. What I love about The Corner is y'all keep me 100. So going back to episode 242, I was given props to all the lady leaders who are just crushing it when it comes to coronavirus. And when I got to one of the countries, I stepped in it. I misspoke of what country this world leader was from. So I had included Tsai Ing-wen, who is one of the most successful world leaders in the response to the pandemic, but I named the country wrong. So I want to thank you to Charlotte S. and Chelsea A. And there was another one. Sorry, it's escaping me right now, but thank you for pointing this out to me, making that correction now. But yes, I had mentioned that Tsai Ing-wen, I had named the country as Thailand, but it was actually from Taiwan. Oh man, I think I was really just sort of sight reading and just trying to get through the corner because it was running a little bit long. But anyways, I fucked that up. And what's sad thing is there's a history of people mixing up the two very different countries, 110%. And I apologize. So although I think Thailand's doing okay, but it's about Taiwan. Yes. So big props to Taiwan, Tsai Ing-wen for crushing it, and apologies for mixing that up. But a big thanks to those of you who politely and kindly emailed in to let me know, because y'all know your boy is sensitive. So, you know, come at me correct. And I appreciate that, Charlotte S. and Chelsea as well. Oh, and Mary. It was Mary. Thank you. Absolutely. Well, that was, I would say, well, there it is. Week one of the Maximum Fun Drive is wrapping up here. And we are already at, in just 1 week, 9,044 new and upgraded members, which is just so fabulous. And there's also, if you do become a new and upgrading member, you're going to get access to the bonus content. Now, we had actually already done our bonus episode back in the before times. I am currently cooking up something. Our bonus episode is Aneke and myself doing a deep dive into The Watchmen, which I know a lot of you just recently caught up on watching The Watchmen. It was released for free for everybody if you didn't have HBO in honor of Juneteenth, as the opening segment of it happens during the Tulsa Massacre, which y'all know all about because you listen to the show. So I want to do something else. Although we already did that bonus episode, I want to do something else for those of you who are still joining in into the Maximum Fun Drive fun. I don't want to say what it is because I want to make sure that we're able to do it, but it is something, if we are able to pull this off, I'm really excited about this extra bit of content just as a thank you, because I really do support all. I just am in awe and just so grateful to you all who are new or have been here. We've been here for a while and listen to us yammer, and you're also becoming members. It's just a really beautiful thing, and I'm incredibly grateful to just be a part of your world. That's such a clever statement. I shouldn't like write a song and sell it to Disney. So if you haven't had your chance to become a member yet, you can do so right now. In fact, as soon as this podcast ends, you hear the end of that music, I would say you mosey on over to MaximumFun.org/join and get in on the fun. Well, that's going to do it for us right here on Minority Corner. I hope you all have a fabulous weekend, and I love you all so much. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.